If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 18, or excuse me, 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. This morning I'm reading out of the New American Standard. I normally want to preach try to do it out of the New King James because I think that's what a lot of people use. But when you get called at 7:30 in the morning, you go back to a Bible that you've had since you started preaching in 1977. And it's Ephesians. I'm sorry, Ephesians. Check my brain. They both start with an E. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We'll get it straight. See. You go back to the Bible that you have sermons already written in and see what the Lord speaks to you. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, from which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, God, as we come into your presence this morning, we truly praise you for who you are. For Lord, you are that God of loving kindness. God who loves us beyond all that we can imagine. You are the one who spoke and created us. You are the one who sustains us every day of our life with all that we need. And you are the one who saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you provide everything for us. And so we praise you because you're worthy. We thank you for those blessings that you give to us. Many that we do not deserve and many that we don't even recognize. We're thankful for all those gifts. Lord, we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness. For Lord, we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But you tell us in your word, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And we pray, Lord, that the Spirit would work through us, that we would truly be and become what you have called us to be. Lord, we ask that you would take in this time that we spend together, that you would speak to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls, and help us become what you want. Bless each one here. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Being in the military for 20 years, you get used to carrying something about this size in your pocket all the time. It's a challenge coin. You get it, you're in your unit, and your unit, for the officers, it's a thing that if you end up in the O Club or something and somebody puts down their coin and you don't have yours, then you better have some money in your pocket, because you're going to be buying somebody something. But anyway, after doing that for all those years, I carry this one in my pocket right now. It's a little faded and it's worn. In fact, it's worn pretty good. Probably next time I go to Mayport, I'm going to have to pick me up a new one. But what it has on the back is of it, on the front, is a picture of a Roman soldier. And on the back, it has inscribed in it Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Has that in there because the reality is we are in a battle. And oftentimes, I don't even think we think about it. I was in the military in 1989, I believe it was, when the Berlin Wall fell. And we were wondering then, who's the enemy? Is this a trick or is this real? What's going on? I got transferred to Panama from Fort Hood, Texas, down to Panama. And guess what we were doing then? I was in the intel community, and what we were doing, we were fighting what? Drugs in the Caribbean. Later in the Navy, I don't know how many times I was on ships tracing drug boats back and forth across the Caribbean. That war has changed a little bit. Some of the others have changed. We've had two wars since I was in, well, while I was in. But the thing is, sometimes you don't see them. But Paul tells us as Christians, we're in a war. We are in a war. And he tells us what we need to do if we're going to overcome it. So we're going to see, to talk about that briefly this morning. He says first, starting in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If we have to fight a battle by ourselves, we're going to lose in our human, who we are as human beings. One of the reasons that the military has PT, physical training, is so that you are in the physical shape to do the things that you're supposed to do. Now, Marines have the best physical training. I know, because I served within the Marines for 3 years, because the Navy provides chaplains to the Marine Corps. And where did I get? I got an infantry battalion. And so I had to do Marine Corps PT. And guess what? I actually did do some pull-ups. Okay. I was able to get my FMF ribbon that I was a Fleet Marine Force person. Could run and do the setups and do the pull-ups and do all those things. And you know what I had to do? I had to work hard at it. You know how long it took me to be able to do just 3 lousy pull-ups? It was almost my whole deployment in Okinawa to do that. I say that to go back here to where he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The way that we do that is we spend time with God every day. We spend time in God's word. That we have a relationship with God. I was asked the other day, tell us something about your, personal devotion, And I said, well, I try to read some scripture every day. But the main thing is I try to talk to God almost all the time. Talk to him as a friend. It's not I have to get down on my knees someplace in a certain quiet spot, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and you're doing that, that's great. I was doing that for a long time, and God said, you're gotten really good about this routine stuff. But are you missing me? So now I just spend a lot of time talking to God as we're going along. I'll question him. I'll thank him. Whatever's going on is, okay, how's this relate? The way that we become strong in the Lord is we have to spend time with Him. We have to spend time with Him because the power comes from Him. And the power that we have is the power of the resurrection. God is able to do anything. You remember just a few weeks ago when I said how big the span of His hand was? If your God's not that big, then your God's way too small, because that God's able to do anything. So we need to have the strength of the Lord in us. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to take and put on that full armor of God, and we're going to get there here in a minute about what those pieces of the army are. But the first thing we have to do is we have to stand firm. We live in a world today that doesn't want people to stand firm. We live in a world that wants everybody, well, you know, that can be okay, this can be okay, that can be. There are things that the Bible says are right, and there are things that the Bible says are wrong. And let me tell you, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to love people no matter what they are, because I also believe that God can change anybody. God has that power. And we need to love people. We don't need to, you know, because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean that you hate them. Because you disagree doesn't mean you hate them. We need to love everybody. And we need to stand firm in what we believe. And we need sometimes a lot, what we need to do, we need to go in here and look and say, what does the Bible say about that? And stand firm. What we need to stand firm mostly in is that sin leads to death. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's no wavering from that. No wavering from that. And we need to love people. And we need to show those people the love of Jesus Christ in everything. Everybody. The person that's really sweet and the person that's ornerier than a snake. We need to show them all the love of Christ. We may not have to love, we don't have to like their actions, but we need to treat them the way Christ did. You know, when you look through the Gospels, who's the only people that Jesus got mad at? Think about it. It was the religious people. It wasn't the sinners. Jesus didn't get mad at the sinners. Why? Because sinners are doing what sinners do. And He died to save them. It was the religious people that were supposed to know better is the people He got upset with. So we need to stand firm in our faith. We need to stand firm in what we believe. And we need to stand firm in the hope and in the love of God. I'm going to skip down. Verse 12 is very interesting. It is worth its own sermon. When he talks about all these spiritual forces, and like I said, that's a totally different sermon. So I'm going to skip over verse 12. Not that it's not important, because it is important. Because he gives a whole list there, you know. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces in this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's a sermon in there to pick all those things out and what he's talking about. There's a whole lot of different places we can go into scripture with that. We're going to skip that one to get on what we can do that's a little easier, okay? So in verse 13, he says, take up the full armor of God. Now, it doesn't do any good when you're on a ship or when you're in a infantry company or whatever kind of unit that you're in, a pilot, whatever. There is a certain uniform and stuff that you put on. Some stuff you may like. Some stuff you may not like. Let me tell you, wearing a flak jacket in the desert in 100-degree weather is not a fun thing to do. Okay? But it's required if you want to keep yourself alive with your helmet and all your other gear. So he says, take up the full armor of God. It is the same way for us. So we're going to look at those pieces of this armor here real very quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time because there's a lot of pieces of armor, so we're not going to spend 20 minutes on each piece, okay? So don't get worried about it. Don't worry, Johnny. You'll be out in time for lunch, I promise, okay? All right. Take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, having done everything, and he says it again, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When he says gird yourself, it's like his big belt. It's a big belt. And part of the thing is also back in, because he's looking at a Roman soldier. You got to remember, when Paul is writing this, he's probably in prison. And so what does he have all around him? He has these Roman soldiers, these Roman guards all around him. And they're dressed, and they've got their uniform on. And so they've got their gird on, which is a belt of a official, probably like a centurion. And he's belted up. And this is where he's belted up. It's a sign of authority. It's where the power comes from, because the power doesn't come from us. Remember, in all these pieces, the power doesn't come from us. The power comes from God. Twyla Paris sang a great song, "The Warrior is a Child," where she talks about how we as Christians put on the armor of God, but the reality is the warrior inside is not some flamboyant person, but it's really a child, because we're all children trying to learn how to be what God wants us to be. So you take and you gird up your loins with the truth. Jesus says back in John, what? You shall know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. One of the things you can almost say is anytime you hear politicians speaking, or their mouth is moving, they're lying. Okay. And usually what they're accusing the other side of is exactly what they themselves are doing. Unfortunately. Let it not be said of us that, but let it be said of us that when we speak the truth, and we speak the truth hopefully because we're speaking what the Bible says, the things that Jesus said. What he commanded, love one another. And that's one of the great things, folks. If I haven't said it enough, I'll say it again. This is the most loving church I've ever been in my entire life. Seriously. This is a very loving church. And so you all set a model for that. And so we need to gird ourselves with the truth, and we do it with love, we do it with hope, we do it with compassion. And those are the things. Because, see, you can take and be brutally honest with somebody with the truth. And is that nice? No. It's not nice to be brutally honest. But you can also speak the truth in love and in compassion. And maybe change somebody's heart with the Spirit working through you. So we need to put on that belt of truth on our loins. We have to put on a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness covers our heart. When you look inside a sinful person, what does God see? Their righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. It's exactly right. In our righteousness alone, it is nothing but filthy rags. But when we put on the armor of God, that which God gives to us, See, for those of you that hadn't been in the military, when you go to a unit, they pass out your stuff. Here, you need this, 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 this. Here's your gas mask. Here's your, you know, your rucksack. Here's your tent. Here's whatever it is that you need. Here's your air mask to fly in or whatever like that. They give you all that stuff. God has issued that stuff to us. But if we don't put it all on, it doesn't work. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we put on God's righteousness, then that makes us right with Him. That lets us be His child. And what does that do? That allows the power to flow through us. Because we can do nothing by ourselves. We can only do it through Him. So we put on that breastplate of righteousness, and also that breastplate is going to protect us, because we're being attacked. And sometimes I think we kind of forget that we're being attacked. We get attacked sometimes so much that we're like, oh, well, today wasn't that bad of a day. It still was. There's places in this world, I know you've heard about Nigeria, where Christians are being slaughtered. Exactly. We need to be careful. We need to watch out. Some places over there, I've been to Africa, spent 6 months in Africa. There's some places where they all get along. There's some places where they don't. Nigeria used to be a place where the Christians were actually doing pretty good. But we need to be praying for them, because it's not... I was in Africa, let me think about this, 15 years ago. It doesn't take long for things to change. All right, let me go on. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes that we wear should be the shoes of peace. Are we looking to bring peace where we are at? So you can go and you can change things by just trying to stir everything up. You ever know any of those people that just like to stir things up? We talk about one of our daughters sometimes. She just likes to stir things up. Yeah, she just does that, stir them. But as messengers of peace, when we walk, we should walk trying to bring peace every place that we go. Trying to bring that love. Jesus, when he went someplace, he wasn't particularly trying to stir things up. Because the thing is, when you bring God in truth, and people begin to worship in truth and in love, what happens? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your hearts and minds. And so we, as his soldiers, need to prepare and shod our feet with the preparation of peace. And try to spread peace where we go. That is our footing. And in addition, taking up the shield of faith. This is a big one. Romans carried a big... They had two kinds of shield, but the ones that the legion normally would carry was a big shield, so that then if they were attacked, they could take and carry it up, and they would actually put them and kind of overlap them, so that as the other armies would shoot arrows over, they could protect themselves. That's what Paul's alluding to here in verse 16. He says, in addition to taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Folks, let me tell you, the devil's trying to attack you every day. He is trying to attack you every day. with doubts, fears, hurts, worries. Because if he can get that little bit in there, that guess what? Let me take a little bit of peace from you. Let me take a little bit of hope from you. Let me take a little bit of your faith from you. A little here, a little there, a little there. After a while, you start, you know, stumbling. And what do you do when you start stumbling? You're not standing firm. But you're kind of like that, you know, punch-drunk boxer. You're just kind of stumbling around there. You got to take up faith. And there's times when having faith gets really hard. When you don't know or don't understand maybe what God is doing in the world or what God is doing even in your own life. Or maybe sometimes harder what God's doing in the life of maybe your children. And he says, hold up that shield of faith. Have faith that the God who saved you, the God of Hesed, of that everlasting love, that God that has brought you this far is not going to let you go, no matter how bad it gets. That he's there with you. To hold up your faith. There's times when it gets hard. There is. You know, Paul talks about there at the end. He said, you know, I think I'm getting to the end. He said, there's part of me that wants to go on and be with the Lord. I just want to go on and be with the Lord. That'd be easy. I also know that I need to be here. So we all have faced it. But God calls us to pick up that big shield of faith, because that shield is there to protect us. But if you drop it, if you drop the faith, then it's a little harder to pick it back up. You can, but you got to find it and how do I get a hold of it now? Oh, God will help you pick it back up. But hold on to that faith. Because he is faithful and he is true to the end. Take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is like that sealing that the Spirit does when he marks us as his child. We need to stand in the assurance that because of God's love for us, there's no way Satan is going to pluck us out. Jesus says that in the book of John. He can't pluck you out. Not saying you can't jump out. That's one of those debatable things, okay? But he can't pluck you out. He cannot pluck you out. Once you have been saved, he's there to save you. You're sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered, except for getting there. You're like a UPS package. You're on the way. You just hope you don't get lost in the shuffle, right? We have that helmet of salvation, which is also the crown that God wants to give to us. We are his child, sealed. And with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Romans often had, well, they did. I mean, they had their arrows. They had some catapults that they threw things with. But a lot of their fighting, frankly, was hand-to-hand combat with swords. Doing with. And how do you become good with swords? Practice. How to become good with the Word of God. Practice. Practice. So we need to look at the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to speak to God and let God speak to us. For He will. Ask me and I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Look it up. You talk to God, He'll talk to you. He may not actually whisper in your ear, but He'll talk to you somehow. He'll either speak to you through here. He can speak to you through your spouse. Others. God uses. But you need to be ready with that sword. Now, here he's talking about a sword. Sometimes in our growth, all we have is a little dagger. And for some of the battles you have to fight, you need a bigger sword. So we need to look at the Word of God. And then verse 18 really sums it all up. With all prayer and petition, pray at all time in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. One of the most powerful moments that we have, if you haven't realized it, and I think we do, in this entire worship service, is when we, as God's people, hear prayer requests and we hear the praises, because the praises give us hope. And we give petitions because we need hope. Praying is one of the most powerful things we do in this service. And when we, what Paul is talking about here is, with all prayers and petitions, praying at all time in the Spirit, with this view on the alert of perseverance and petition for the saints, we're praying for ourselves and we're praying for one another. And we can pray for those Christians around the world. They're being persecuted. So, that's real quick and short, down and dirty. Johnny, I went a little longer than I thought there, okay. But we need to gird ourselves up, have the truth around us, put on that breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the gospel of peace, have that helmet of salvation, and pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. We want to do that so that we can be the people that God wants us to be, that we can live in the world. We pray for thy kingdom come. We can't have God's kingdom come if we're not praying for it and we're not prepared for it. They say at the end, Jesus said at the end, that if God did not shorten the time, there would be no one that would be left. We need to be prepared. First way we get prepared is we make sure that Jesus is the Lord of our life and that He's our Savior. If you've done that, but maybe you're turning and walking the wrong direction, come back and turn the right way. Come back to the Lord. Rededicate yourself to Him.